That's my girl.
Constance Hall, one of the most talked about bloggers in the country.
Oh, look out!
Opinionated,
raw,
thought-provoking,
and never shy to have an opinion.
Annalise is her best friend.
The yin to her yang.
The gale to her Oprah.
She's the chic one. Just ask her.
A show for queens.
By queens.
No topic is too taboo.
A shame-free, judge-free space.
Oversharing, commiserating, and celebrating.
This is the Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
Come on, girls!
And the other day, I was on my way to picking up the twins from daycare, and I never called you and told you about this, and I never Instagram storied it either because I was saving it for the Queen Sesh.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I was just feeling, I was in my, like, glorious hippie self. I was barefoot. I was long-skirted. I was walking through Coles.
Oh, getting God. Some shopping. I thought you were about to say the forest.
Coles. But, okay. You know, like, yeah, I was really feeling it. I had no kids. You know how sometimes you just got a soundtrack in the back of your head and you just feel great?
Yeah, always.
I was doing, yeah. Mm. And then you know how we don't do plastic bags and I always forget plastic bags. So I always just have to carry on. Yeah, things started to turn as I was in the 12 items or less aisle. And as I went to pay, I realised that I'd forgot my bank card. It was in the car. No. So I went to grab my bank card. I came back to pay. My bank card declined.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not, this isn't a poor me. This is stupid me because I've always got the wrong bloody bank card. I don't know. Yeah. And then I went to get my other bank card. And as I was walking out to get my other bank card, my trolley wheel got stuck on my skirt and pulled it down and I wasn't wearing undies. I'm not kidding.
I believe you. You never wear undies, you weirdo.
Yeah, and shout out to the Coles lady because when she dried her tears after pissing herself laughing, the checkout chick, she was like, I'm so sorry, but you've just made my night. Hairy bush and all, big white bum. And, like, there was this little old man and I think I ruined his, like, every fantasy. Like, I think he thinks that, like, women of my type, you know, might look a certain way underneath that skirt and it just wasn't quite meeting up to what he was expecting. Yeah, I died. It was awful.
How many people saw your bush?
About four. And it'd be on the cameras at Coles. That's my big fear, is that, like, someone's going to go, it's going to go viral. Someone's going to go Con's bush in Coles. Oh, my God. If I didn't have such a good spray tanner, everyone would have seen how red my face was. It was so embarrassing.
This is the Queen Sesh.
Constance Hall. Do you have rules in your relationship, in your marriage with husband Denzi?
Interesting question. I do not have rules with my husband Denim. I've never needed to. We have a pretty good mutual respect, but we are an older couple. We got together older, so we'd made our mistakes. I have been in relationships before that needed rules. I think sometimes they get to a point where you need to put some rules in place, and I had a counsellor actually tell me that, you know, you need rules and boundaries, and one person can't get drunk if the other person isn't there, or you can't go to sleep on a fight, or whatever it is, you need to have these rules. So I'm not anti-rules. I just haven't reached that point with my husband where I've needed them yet.
Okay. Well, there's a list of rules I have in front of me, mm-hmm. and it's from a woman who did not suspect that they would be uploaded to the internet, I would think, because they are pretty out there. There's 22, so I'll just sort of, you know, rattle off the highlight reel. You're not to look at a single girl, and not, in each time I say not, it's in capitals. I am allowed to do a phone check whenever I please.
God love her.
You are not to have a single girl's phone number. And this is the one that I think is the meanest. If we move in together, side note, good luck, your friends will rarely be allowed over.
Okay, so this to me sounds like she may, like, you know, I think there's more to this story. We all want to, like, hate on her. But what if, like, she's just decided, okay, I'll let you come back into my life after you've cheated on me and been caught?
Yeah, with my best friend. That's what I was thinking.
If you want to come back, then here's the rules. Like, let's assume that this is his fault.
I'd like to. I mean, I just think, and look, there's 22 of them. There's
you know,
more.
She's got to keep going.
I mean, the question would be, I mean, if you're at a point in your relationship needs this many very strict rules, is it worth holding on to?
Well, yeah, I don't have high hopes for the future with this guy. I don't think it's going to, you know.
It's the future's not looking too bright.
No, the future
couple.
Looks grim for him.
For him, mate, mostly.
He's going to be on, you know. Tight
watch, Ms. Oh, Prince. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If he's allowed to see them. So we shared this on our Facebook page, The Queen Sesh, and it got a huge reaction. So many angry people, some sympathetic, but lots of different opinions. So we're going to be hearing from you next.
This is The Queen Sesh.
Talking about rules in relationships, because a list of rules from a girlfriend to her boyfriend went viral this week, and you know, some of the things on here, you're not to look at a single girl. I'm allowed to do a phone check whenever I please. 22 very strict rules. And, Con, we thought that maybe something had happened to this poor girl, didn't we?
Yeah, and I just think phone check is really funny. I thought she called it phone check.
I know.
You know, like a teenager's, like, I'm doing a room check, you know.
And we shared it on our Facebook page, The Queen Sesh, and it had such a huge reaction from people with different opinions about what might be happening in this relationship. And we've got Banksia from New South Wales. What did you think about this woman's list of rules?
Hi, Con. I thought it was a bit strange. I wasn't really sure if it was a joke or serious, but, yeah, it's not really acceptable, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you were offended by it?
A little bit, yeah. I just thought it was a bit over the top, I guess, yeah.
Well, if you think about, like, your son being in a relationship with this woman, you know, it's not a healthy environment, really, is it?
No.
No,
and, you
really.
Know, some of the people did say on the Facebook as well, like, if this was a man's list that he had written, we would have a really different reaction.
Definitely. Well, I think the same reaction. I think there'd be more of an uproar if it was a man, but because it's a woman, I still think it's not really acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've got Anita from Queensland. Anita, we shared this list of very strict rules that went viral this week from a girlfriend to her boyfriend. What did you think about the rules?
I think at least she's being straight up and honest about it.
Okay.
You know, she could hide those thoughts in her head and then appear even crazier when she starts reacting to things he's doing. Or she can say, this is what I want, take it or leave it.
She could do what the rest of us did and wait till she gets pregnant before she shows her true colours.
So you're saying, so you don't think the list is just too far, though? Do you think it's reasonable?
Oh, no, I think... That's not something I would do, but everybody has different reasons for why they do things, and if that's what is going to work for her, sure. And if it doesn't, then yes, she might need to rethink her strategy. But
yeah, he didn't need to sign the dotted line, did he?
Yeah, exactly. That's his choice. Someone's either going to sign it or they're not.
Yeah,
exactly.
The one that I actually quite like is that he's never allowed to be angry with her about anything, ever.
Oh, wouldn't we all like that?
That's actually my favourite rule.
Me too.
She's actually a bit of a legend. I don't know why we're all hanging so much on her. At least, do you have any rules in your relationship?
Yes, I do. I have a rule. Mm-hmm. And that is if we're in different states, because my husband travels for work, that before our head hits the pillow, that we just text goodnight.
Oh, okay. So nothing. You don't have a tracker on him or anything?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Just a little goodnight text, that's my rule.
Oh, that's a great rule. And he probably wants to do that anyway. I send you goodnight texts all the time.
Well, there's been times where he's forgotten, and I have reminded definitely this list and the intensity that this woman is, the wrath that's coming from this woman did sound a little familiar when he's forgotten to text.
This is the Queen Sesh.
There are new laws coming in New South Wales prompted by the tragic death of teenager Dolly Everett and cyberbullying. And to explain to us all what it means, we have Kira Pendergast, the Director of Safe on Social. Welcome to the Queen Sesh.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So, Kira, this is great news, and Constance is really excited
totally
about this.
Stoked, Kira. This is the best thing to happen for me and my career in the last 2 years.
Yes, me too. I have to agree.
So what does it all mean? What are the laws? Who can be prosecuted? How does it work?
Well, my understanding is that it's actually for all people, not just kids. So what it means is that you can now go and get an ABO if you have evidence of cyberbullying, which wasn't often available prior to this law change. You know, I myself, a victim of cyberbullying, tried to get an AVO quite a few years ago. The judge told me it was journalistic and threw it out of court. So this changes that. So it gives people some help, as you know, that is desperately needed. Anyone who has a public profile online, and even the average day person, will get attacked or bullied or trolled at some point. So this should help to ease that up. So they can get an AVO out, so the person has to stop contacting them. And then if charges are pressed beyond there, it can be up to 5 years in jail for that offence. So there used to be only one law in this space, which was never, I've never seen it used. It was a, it's considered to using a carriage service, which is anything that connects to the internet, to menace, harass or cause offence, which is section 474 of the Australian Criminal Code. It carried a penalty of 3 years. So this is actually different, and it now carries a penalty of 5, which is good news.
Excellent. And so it's just New South Wales that's introducing this. Are the other states going to join in? What's the hold up?
There is some laws in other states already in this space. There is a couple of laws, like in Victoria, there's one called Brodie's Law, which was after a young girl who worked in a cafe in Victoria, took her own life quite a few years ago now due to cyberbullying. So there is a couple of state laws. I personally hope that this law, which is being called Dolly's Law by the media and everybody, actually rolls out federally.
Yes, because if you're in Perth, Con, you know, and someone's in Queensland, it gets messy, doesn't it? Because cyberbullying, you're not going to be living in the same space.
Absolutely.
Oh, correct. And if they're overseas.
What would determine cyberbullying? Because, I mean, I've been a victim of cyberbullying with hate groups with 6,000 people in there. And, you know, I've been, like, actually had leaders of the groups that have just attacked every single thing I've done. And that, so, whereas when I've gone to the police, they've said if they're not directly saying they want to kill you or they're going to be at your house on this day, then they can get away with it to a certain extent. But these people were printing photos of me out and sticking them all over the streets. And they were, you know, like calling me and my children every name under the sun. And it was relentless and it was like non-stop and it was terrifying. And so, like, what would you say constitutes bullying? Does there have to be a direct physical threat or can it just be this continuous harassment?
Continuous harassment, absolutely. You're dead right there. What happens in, you know, is it, in New South Wales, which is where this law is, a lot of the time there is no training for police. Like, you talk to the average police officer, they're not trained in this space at all. There's not enough money. That's pretty well consistent all around the country in the digital space. The people that are trained in this space and highly trained are computer crime units, which are usually quite small, and then the school liaison officers, which are self-trained. So that's what came up in the parliamentary inquiry into cyberbullying recently, that there is an enormous lack of training for police. So if you have to report bullying, you literally have to go into a police station with a whole stack of screenshots and things like that and say, I want to make a report, and stand there until they do it and ask them for the victim event number on a card so you can follow it up. Because they haven't had a lot of training in this space. So there is a process to go through. I'm also pushing that the Safety Commissioner's office is extended to all Australians as well. So because right now it's pretty much for children or young people that they can report serious cyberbullying through there. And they can only get it taken down. They can't actually help with charges. They can get the offending posts removed. So
it's the charges are what we want, though.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big advocate and I often get in a lot of arguments about the fact that I am a huge advocate for accountability in this space.
Yes.
Once you've been a victim of bullying, there's a lot of, you know, academic evidence around, you know, you can't arrest your way out of this and everything. I call BS on that, to be honest. I think absolutely we can arrest our way or at least set an example that might deter others. It will not deter everyone, but it may deter others from being so cruel as to what they're doing to people online. And it is literally killing people, as you know, Con. It's incredibly hard to deal with. That anxiety never goes away. It comes up like post-traumatic stress disorder. It comes up in autoimmune disease, you know, all of those things that come post post-boarding.
Do you know, I when I had a bit of a breakthrough with a lot of my haters was also I believe that the accountability is so important because there is often a ringleader and they other people follow and, you know, it's like that pack mentality and everybody all of a sudden gets very vicious and very vile and it really reminds me of, like, gang rape and, you know, like Ku Klux Klan, like when you can really rev up a crowd and make them do horrible things. So if one person, if that ringleader can get pulled down, it can actually, like, sort of disintegrate the rest of it. But where I had a lot of luck, because I could had no luck with my lawyers or the police, they all sort of told me that I had to sort of, you know, just wear it. But it got to the point where I couldn't just wear it anymore. It was everyone that I loved was getting inboxes and, you know, friend requests from fake profiles, and they were just trying so hard to get into my life. And then I had an amazing journalist who decided she was going to write a really big story and put a lot of effort in, and she was a really highly acclaimed journalist, and she wrote a big story about, and she interviewed some of my trolls who were very righteous about their behaviour, and they said it wasn't a hate group and that they had every right to do, and she really tore them a new asshole in her article. They tried to take her to some, they tried to say that it was inaccurate and all the rest of it, they lost, and in the end they sort of just dwindled away because they were accountable. They were in the papers all of a sudden, and it was like, you know, this is you. Now we can turn it on you. Let's turn the spotlight on you. Why are you so obsessed with Constance Hall? What is it that about Constance Hall that you can't sleep at night until you've destroyed her, you know? And there's no answers for that. They didn't have any answers. So, yeah, it was, I mean, I had to rely on journalists because no one else was helping me, and if I could go to the police, that would have just been heaven.
Yeah, I agree. I had a very similar experience as an ex-business associate. That's why I do what I do. It's why I started Safe on Social. I was a consultant to the government prior to that, and I started talking to kids and their parents and teachers on just how to handle all of this after my experience when I turned around, and there was no one. No one.
Yes,
and
yes.
Because a lot of my friends didn't understand it because they hadn't been as actively involved online as I was because it's been my work for 20-odd years, it was really difficult to stop it. So I'd get a secondary form of what I considered was like a traumatic form of bullying, which was friends of mine that would take screenshots. So I had them blocked everywhere, my bully. Couldn't see anything they were doing. They couldn't contact me. I was lucky it was just one person, not like a cyber mob like you've experienced. But blocking her, friends of mine would take screenshots and send it to me and say, have you seen this today?
Yes.
That was like getting bullied on a second level.
And that's what my followers did to me. And they thought they were doing it as a favour, but they didn't understand the anxiety and panic that came with that.
Correct. And the you get to a point where every beep on your phone, every email that comes in, you just sort of go, you get that awful feeling in your gut. And I think that's something I try to teach kids never to do. If they see someone being bullied, notify an adult, notify the police or something like that, but don't show the person who's being bullied. They need to protect them from the trauma of what's going on. That's
absolutely
a big thing that's often left
that's
out
huge
of this kind of education.
Absolutely. So, and that's what my admin group are trained to do now. No one tells me about it. They discuss it with each other. This person needs to be blocked. This person needs to be banned. No one tells Constance because Con just needs to do a thing. She's got seven kids to raise and she can't be having an anxiety attack over some F-wit online, you know?
Exactly right. And that's the perfect scenario.
So, Kira, thank you so much. So people can reach out to Safe on Social to learn more about it. Kira Pendergast, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. And for the amazing work you do. Thanks so much, Kira.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This is the Queen Sesh.
This year in Australia, 62 women have died as a result of domestic violence and six in the last week, and we're absolutely reeling. We've got the CEO of Domestic Violence New South Wales, Moo Bolch, with us. Thanks for joining us, Moo.
Thank you for having me.
So we're just kind of in shock. We're saddened. What's going on?
Look, I think it's, you know, there are many, many people who have woken up this morning and are wondering what is happening in our communities that we're seeing this level of violence against women. You know, we've all woken up this morning to the news that another woman was murdered overnight by her partner and that police are charging him. It really is a crisis point. And I guess many of us are scratching our heads and saying what needs to happen. You know, how many deaths of women, children and men as well do we need to have before governments take this seriously?
Yeah, like what was the ridiculous reward that was offered to someone who could tell us who was putting pins in strawberries? Where's the rewards offered for someone who can tell us that there's a male or, you know, like a domestic violence situation happening at this number on this street? Someone needs to go in there and help that woman. Why isn't the government taking anything seriously?
I think there's lots of tinkering around the edges, to be honest. So we've seen, you know, lots of things change, I guess, over the last 5 years. But the really key things that need to happen are not being addressed in the way that we would want them to. So I think one of the sticking points and one of the real challenges is, you know, we have a National Prevention Foundation, Our Watch, which has done lots and lots of research and basically has found the cause of violence against women and girls really to be rooted in gender inequality. And yet we find it really, really difficult to talk about what gender equality looks like without having that conversation. What about, you know, what about the men and what about the boys? I think we've got a real crisis in terms of being able to tackle the roots of violence against women. And it all starts with, you know, attitudes. You know, you see violence supportive attitudes across the community in a range of different places. And that's the stuff that we need to tackle. If we can start having those conversations and we can start doing it, you know, at the earliest ages with kids, which is where the change really needs to happen, then I think we will see some shift over time. But I guess the other part of what's really missing is funding for services. You know, our services are incredibly stretched. I'm sitting outside the Women's Health Centre in Wyong right now, and they've had a 400% increase in clients over the last few years without any increase in funding. It's just outrageous.
Oh, unbelievable, because that is at the root of all of it. I've been in a domestic violence situation when I was a lot younger, and feeling like you've got nowhere to go, having nowhere to go is the big problem. And if you've got children and you think that you're going to literally, I don't know the exact statistics, but homelessness amongst older women is a reality. And if you're faced with, put up with this, keep the man under control, try and control him as much as you can so that the children can keep the roofs over their heads, or pack everyone up and live in a car, you know, like you're going to keep trying to just keep your head above water. And these women are sort of treading water with these like aggressive men and just hoping a wave doesn't come and dump them, you know. And that's where the funding needs to come from, because if there was an option, if there was, no, there's this place you can go and it's going to be safe and it's going to be fine and you can actually live a happy and see a future for yourself there, it'd be a completely different situation.
It really would. And I think, I think we kind of forget that it's actually governments to do the job of what we want to prioritise. You know, we need to see really significant cultural change. We need to have, you know, education all the way through our school system so that, you know, particularly young women are really super vulnerable in this space. They don't identify necessarily their relationships or the things that are going on in their relationships as being violent or abusive.
Yep.
If you're growing up in a community where all you're seeing around you is a range of different relationships that are all either dysfunctional at best or, you know, quite horrifically violent, then how are you supposed to know how to form a healthy relationship? And then imagine being in a same-sex relationship or, you know, trans or gender diverse on top of that. You know, for young people, this is almost impossible. We're asking them to have relationships that are meeting a much higher standard of healthiness than other generations, but we're not giving them the tools to do it.
Yeah, and also like being able to recognise when you first meet somebody what these little things that you think aren't so problematic that they might be doing, you know, like going through your phone or taking your money away from you or, you know, having an argument with your family so that you can't see your family. These things are actually going to potentially lead to a really, really problematic relationship. But young people don't see that. They just see it as part of being in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like coming back to the homelessness stuff, this is, you know, we know that domestic violence is the leading cause of homelessness for women and for children and for young people. And yet we're also living at a time where, you know, what young person can possibly ever hope to own their own home? Very, very few. You know, women are staying in violent situations because they know there is nowhere safe and affordable to rent. There's nowhere safe. You know, women are sleeping in cars at times because they can't get into services which are, you know, full or stretched, or they don't know where to go. You know, we've got young women who are sleeping, you know, not just on the streets and the parks in Sydney, but also in many other, places across the state and across the country. If this is not at crisis point, I don't know what is. And yet we spend a week kind of talking on the media primarily about things like what are we going to project onto the Opera House and, without having the conversations about, the fact that we've women and children and men are losing their lives this week. It's incredible.
Oh, so Moo, is there anything that we can do? Is there any governments that we can, as individuals, contact and, beg for more funding and protest? Like, what can we do to help?
Well, you know what? It's so serendipitous that we're talking today because I'm up in Wyong because we've launched the Safe States campaign. So as you know, we are leading up to an election in New South Wales and obviously in the federal space as well at some point. So I've been working with a range of different organisations who have expertise in this space, and we've put together a campaign, safenewsouthwales.org.au. People can jump on there. They can sign up and pledge their support, get a bit of a sense of some of the things that we're asking for. And it's around the areas of that cultural change and gender equality that we've talked about, making sure that people can get the support in the services that they need, so the funding for that. The stuff around having a safe home as well, making sure that everybody has the right to have somewhere safe that they can go home to at the end of the day. Improving the justice system, making sure that the right kind of support services are there, and giving Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people a voice and some power over the conversations about this within their community, because we know Aboriginal people are really significantly impacted by violence in the family and in the community space. And finally, the bit about government accountability, because I'm just feeling a bit fed up with governments, drip feeding us little bits and pieces, but actually not, Why isn't Scott Morrison standing up today and saying, this is outrageous, another woman has died overnight? Like, how many more
deaths
do we need?
Where is his talk about it? I completely agree. I'm so disgusted and let down by our government. Why isn't there a big media, shitstorm, and he should be there saying this is what our plan of attack is? But it's like he'd prefer to talk about the Opera House and stuff. I can't stand it.
Yeah. It's time for men to stand up in this space as well. We've got some amazing male allies who we work alongside, who are incredibly supportive of this and of the fight for gender equality as well. But we need more good men standing up and saying, this is not okay and I don't accept it, and challenging their mates, when they're making sexist jokes or being outrageous. Like, this stuff, it's really about creating a movement. We need a movement in Australia in the same way that we've tackled other, major issues. Governments in the past have decided they want to do things like stop us all smoking cigarettes or, drinking and driving or wearing seatbelts. Why aren't we putting the same kind of resources into creating the change that needs to happen to stop violence against women?
Do you think that fact alone, sorry, Annalise, I know we've got to go, but do you think that fact alone shows that there is a deep-seated sexism? If it was men who were losing their lives primarily, then the government would have chucked a bit more funding into it?
Absolutely. I mean, you think about the numbers of women who are dying in comparison with the numbers of Australians who die from things like terrorist attacks, and look at the, the investment that we put into that space. This cost New South Wales $5.3 billion last year. And we're putting in a very, very tiny percentage of that into the responses. It's time for governments to step up.
Sure, we will absolutely be sharing your Safe States pledge on our Facebook page, The Queen Sesh. So everyone please have a look and sign up, because we absolutely will be doing the same thing. Moo Bolch from Domestic Violence New South Wales, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
This is The Queen Sesh.
You're listening to The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
And we'd like to end every sesh with Queenvice, which is advice for queens from queens. And today it's my advice. I'm in a conundrum.
You are. And usually it's queens who don't know what they're talking about. And again, we have pulled in a queen who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Queen, K-W-E-E-N. Let's just get it clear.
Queen.
It is. It's Draco from our National Nights show. We've had him on the sesh before. He's our expert and guru for all things chic. Welcome back to the sesh.
Welcome back, Draco.
Thanks.
He just comes on to abuse us all and tells how feral we are and then leaves.
I know.
We did fashions on the field. I think it was Last spring racing. Is it been a year?
Well, it's coming up again soon. So
Draco, we also did Can You Wear Sunglasses Inside? And you said yes.
100%. And you are.
I took it on board.
Yes, okay. She's still wearing mine.
It's a year ago and I'm still wearing them inside. So here's my conundrum today, Draco.
Yeah.
I am a live music freak, festival freak. I've loved them my whole life. I've lived with them. And I'm getting to an age now where rather than partying and moshing and, you know, I'm finding myself having little messed up teenagers come over to me for guidance and counselling.
You basically become agony aunt at the festival.
You've become the agony aunt. Am I tragic?
Okay, so also, Constance is 35. Just thought I'd put it out there.
Well, I recently went to my first festival this year. What's the one in Byron Bay?
Splendor.
Splendor in the Grass.
I've never even been to Splendor. You're just very rag, really, aren't you?
No. Is it the cool one to go? I don't know anything.
It's the cool one, yeah. It's what's the one that Beyonce goes to in America?
Coachella.
It's our Coachella.
Yes. Oh, okay. So festivals were usually not for me. The dirt, the dirty people.
Didn't go
the
for slides.
The weeing in a hole. not for me.
Weeing
none of it.
In a hole.
Yeah. So, well, there was the lines for the portaloos were like 2 hours long. Yum. So, I mean, I was in the gold bar. Didn't have to line up with the peasants, but anyway. So I would say, like, most of the people there were like 18 or 19. You're only 35. Like, that's not old.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's not something that we hear a lot.
I think if you wanted to, and also you like look young and cool. Exactly. You're not an old, lame 35. You're a cool 35. Like, your sunglasses are... it's nighttime, firstly. You've got purple glasses on with rhinestones around them. Mm. You're wearing, like a yellow...
I dress like I'm at a festival, even when I'm going to bed. I'm, like...
But that's you. Like, it works. I think... I would say, like... There was definitely older people at the festival that...
And what did you think of them?
Like, I'm talking old, like, I don't know, like 60 or 70, but it was in Byron, so they probably have like, an old Byron person is still kind of cool.
Yeah.
They were there and they were kind of the same thing. Like, they would have all the advice of like, oh, go this way or take that way or wee behind this tree.
Kind of like festival guru.
Yes.
Oh, that could be your new thing.
Yes.
Festival guru.
Festival guru. You could even, because some festivals have like a tents where you can like set things up in like the shopping area. You could have like your own tent.
A pop-up. With Queen the Label selling your fashion line.
You can do a book signing.
But then
it
just turns into work and I'm not at a festival anymore.
Yeah, but you get free entry into the festival.
Mm-hmm. I get free entry into the festival anyway. I've jumped the fence.
I think if you want to be the 35-year-old fashion festival chic advisor for the 18-year-olds that are 100% go for it.
Okay, thanks. It's not tragic.
Not
I'm
going
to bring tarot cards next time.
Some healing crystals.
That's us for another week. Reach out to our Facebook page, The Queen Sesh, anytime. We love hearing from you. Have a beautiful week.
Thanks, Queens.
This is The Queen Sesh.
Hey, Pod Queenies.
Hey, Pod Queenies.
Did you know that was it May? Yeah, May this year, Con and I released our very own Podcast One series, The Queen Sesh Overshare.
And did you know that it had a record number of downloads?
Yes, Queen.
Like, they love it.
It's so different from this radio show catch-up that you guys listen to each week if you haven't heard it, because it's standalone episodes about different themes. So,
and we're allowed to swear.
Yeah, no beeping at all, babe.
At all.
No, and Con, even you talked about your birth poo in graphic
detail. Talk about anything I wanted. It was fabulous.
Yeah. So what were some of the apps? We did how to survive a divorce, how to stay married when you nearly think you're going to divorce, bringing up boys, bringing up girls, blended
sex
families.
Life.
Yes. Birth, the sisterhood, social media, anxiety.
Affairs.
Yes. So much. We really worked hard,
It was
babe.
Basically just all the things that you cover if you're on like a 3-day drinking session. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, and that's how I felt after I just binged all 12 episodes.
Well, I was pregnant, so I did not feel like that.
But I did. And I also, you know, made up for it in the evenings as well after recording each day, which you didn't get to do.
Oh, of course. Mm. I'm very, very, very proud of this work, so...
Yeah, make sure you download. You can hear it in iTunes or wherever you hear your podcasts, or you can download the Podcast One app or hear it on podcastone.com.
This is the Queen Sesh.